of the 10 moral attributes of God.
God has a lot of attributes, but we're looking at the moral attributes, the ones that we are to emulate, and the ones that are part of how he interacts with mankind. We've looked at seven so far, so let's be reminded about those seven. We started with the most prominent in Scripture, which is holiness. It all stems from there. God is holy. From his holiness comes his judicial holiness and his legislative holiness, which are righteousness and justice. So from his holiness stems his righteousness and his justice. From there we looked at love. The love of God. Praise God for his love. Then the next two, again, are a package in Scripture. Mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Last week, what did we look at? Faithfulness. God is faithful. Praise God. Today, we will look at God's goodness. And we are very blessed that our God is good. Amen. Next week, we'll look at his long-suffering. And then the final week, we'll look at his truth. And those are the 10 moral attributes of God. So who would read Exodus 34:6 to get us introduced? And then we will talk about God's goodness. Pastor Shannon?
And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth.
Amen. Abundant in goodness. Let's pray. Give us your wisdom, Lord. Use your word to teach and grow us today. Thank you for the privilege of assembling and studying your word. Now may we open our hearts to learn and to grow. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's just look at some scriptures, first of all, as we usually do, just to establish that goodness is part of God's character. So we'll just walk through in scripture order. I need someone to read Psalm 33:5. After that, Psalm 52:1. So who would read Psalm 33 and verse 5? I need my volunteers to be on the ready today. Mr. Scott, 33:5.
He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Isn't that good? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Psalm 52:1. Jackie?
Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually.
It endureth continually. Praise the Lord. It never ends. And then Psalm 117, verse 2. And after that, Psalm 119, verse 68. So who would read Psalm 117, verse 2? So we'll read out of the shortest psalm and then the longest psalm. Maggie?
For his merciful kindness is great toward us. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord.
Now that word kindness is the same word that's also translated as goodness. And then Psalm 119, verse 68. Pastor Shannon?
Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes.
Thou art good and doest good. So it's an intrinsic, that hence a moral attribute. So thou art good, but because he is good, he also does good. But God is good. Psalm 145, verse 9. And then after that, Mark 10, verse 18. These are just establishing that it is part of God's character, part of who he is, that he is good. So who would read Psalm 145, verse 9? Howard?
The Lord is good to all.
He is good to all. And then Mark 10, verse 18.
Jesus said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God.
Amen. And then Acts 14, 17, for our final one on the establishing that it is part of God's character, that he is good. Acts 14, verse 17. Any volunteers? Doug? Amen. He did good. Now, and according to the scriptures, God's goodness is extended even more so to his children, as we'll see. Anybody ever heard of the 23rd Psalm? We all have. The last verse of that says what? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So God's goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. Let's look at some others that show that God extends his goodness even more so to his children. So Psalm 27:13 and then Psalm 31:19. This is showing that God's goodness extends even more so to his children. So Psalm 27:13 and Psalm 31:19. Who would read the first one? 27:13, Beth? Isn't that good? David said, I'd fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Psalm 31:19. Who would read that one for us? Thank you, Beryl. Notice it says he's laid it up for them that fear him. Then Psalm 34:8. And Psalm 143:10. Again, God's goodness extends even more so to his children. So Psalm 34:8 and Psalm 143:10. So who would read 34:8? Pastor Shannon? 34:8.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe.
34:8. I do it all the time, especially in the Psalms.
I taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is a man that trusteth in him.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. And then Psalm 143:10. Who would read that for us? Brother Scott?
Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of the upright.
Thy spirit is good. Praise the Lord. And then Lamentations 3:25 and Matthew 7:11. So someone read Lamentations 3:25 for us. We just read 3:23 last week. Doug?
The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh God.
The soul that seeketh him. And then Matthew 7:11, Jesus is making a point about the goodness of God. Beth? God is good. Romans 8:28, we all know, but let's look it up. Someone read it for us, and then James 1:17. God's goodness is extended even more so to his children. So who would read Romans 8:28? Jackie? So you've noticed all these scriptures are talking about those who fear the Lord. This says those who love God. So God's goodness is extended even more so to his children. And then James 1:17. Hedepia?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Amen. Every good gift is from above. So God is good. Amen. God is good always, and God manifests his goodness in many ways, but there are some specific ones mentioned in Scripture, so we'll look at those. Psalm 25:8, his goodness is manifested in that he teaches sinners. He teaches us about himself. So who would read Psalm 25:8? And we're talking about now the specific manifestation of God's goodness. Beth? So because he is good, he teaches sinners. And if you're born again this morning, he taught you from his word about himself and about your need for him. He teaches us. Then Psalm 86:5, he also, because he's good, is willing to forgive. So who would read Psalm 86:5? Pastor Shannon?
For thou, Lord, art good, ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee.
Ready to forgive. That's God. His goodness makes him ready to forgive. Nahum 1:7. Had to throw at least one minor prophet in there to keep you on your toes. So Nahum 1:7. His goodness is also extended when we are in our trials. Who would read that? Nahum 1:7. It's in the Old Testament. Brad? A stronghold in the day of trouble. Anybody ever had trouble? Well, God is good, and he's a stronghold when you have trouble. Romans 2:4. God's goodness even leads us to repentance, which is not one that we normally think of, Romans 2:4. We often think that it's only his chastisement that should lead us to repentance, but it's also his goodness that should lead us to repentance. Who would read Romans 2:4? Brother Scott?
For despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance.
How can the goodness of God lead us to repentance? We all understand how chastisement could lead us to repentance. But how could the goodness of God lead us to repentance? If we're in need of repentance, it's because we're not right. But how will the goodness of God lead us to repentance? Did you ever think about that? Come on, you can do this. Hedopia. Pardon? He does forgive us. Praise God. We talked about that last week. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But how is it that the goodness of God could lead us to repent when we're not right? Brenda? Pardon? Okay, he's a role model. Good. Mark?
I was going to say, knowing that he will, I know I'm talking about forgiveness before, but knowing that we will repent, that he will forgive us in a sense, that it gives us, I suppose, confidence going to the Lord.
Okay. So knowing that he is good should lead us to come to that goodness. Anything else? Jackie? Okay. Good. Claire. Can you say that again? Exactly. Is it not convicting when we're reminded how good God is and we're not right with him? In other words, we're away from God. We're not where we should be. But as we think about and reflect upon how good he is, shouldn't that make us feel bad, guilty, if you will, that here we are sinning against him when he's so good? That's what Claire's saying. It should lead us to repent because God is so good and we're so bad. And that's really what the point that Paul's trying to get across. We know he's good. We know he's forgiving. And knowing those things should remind us that we're wrong and we need to get right. Very good. Now, probably more than most of the others, God really wants us to praise him for his goodness. And we need to get in the habit of doing that. So let's look at some psalms about how God wants us to praise him every day for how good he is. And we should be doing that. So Psalm 107 is probably one of the best. So first of all, who would read verse 1 of Psalm 107? And notice what it's talking about when we're talking about praise and thanksgiving. Who would read that? 107:1. Howard?
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Amen. And then the very well-known repetitive passage here in Psalm 107. So who would read 8 and 9? But this one phrase shows up over and over again in Psalm 107, which means God's making a point. So who would read 8 and 9? Beryl? And that phrase shows up in the scriptures a lot. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. It sounds like God wants us to praise him for his goodness. All right, Psalm 135, verse 3. Who would read that? 145, verse 3. 135, verse 3, sorry. Jackie?
Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasing.
Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. So God wants us to be praising him because he's good. And then Psalm 145, verse 7. Who would read that? Beth? So God wants us to not only utter the memory, but to abundantly utter the memory of his great goodness. We're to be constantly uttering it. In other words, expressing the great goodness of God. So daily we need to be praising God for his goodness. The gods of the heathen are not good gods. They're usually angry. They have to be appeased. But our God is good. Hallelujah. So as with all the other moral attributes of God, do you think he wants us to emulate this one as well? Of course he does. As a matter of fact, so much so that it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Faith, meekness, temper. So goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And God wants us to emulate that goodness through the Spirit. So let's look at some scriptures on that. Romans 15:14. We are to be good. And it's primarily referring to goodness to others. So who would read Romans 15:14? God's good to us. He wants us to be good to others. Doug?
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
Because they're full of goodness, they're able to admonish one another. And then Ephesians 4:32, most of us know this verse. The word goodness isn't here, but the word kindness is, but it's the same Greek word that's translated goodness in other parts. So goodness and kindness are synonymous. So who would read Ephesians 4:32? Beryl? Be ye kind one to another. You could easily say be good one to another. It's the same Greek word. So we're to be good, just like God is good. Did you know that even extends to our enemies? Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 35. Those of you that were a family camp, maybe you can explain to us how that's possible. How we can be good to our enemies. How we can love our enemies. As opposed to hate our enemies. So Luke 6:35, who can read that for us? Jackie? So he's using himself as an example there, and that word kind is the same word, but God is kind even to the unthankful. God is kind even to the evil, it says, because God is good. God is saying, now I want you to be good to your enemies. I want you to love your enemies. So those of you that were family camp, how's that possible? Because in our hearts, we have trouble forgetting what our enemies have done to us. Doug? Exactly. We may not be able to deal with the feelings, but we can always do the right thing for our enemies. We can always, as Solomon says, if he's thirsty, what? Give him a drink. If he's hungry, give him something to eat. We can always show kindness to our enemies. We may not be able to get rid of the memories because we don't have a perfect forgetter like God does. But we can always be kind and be good, just like God is always kind and good. So that's one way that we can also emulate the goodness of our Lord. So praise God, He's good. And don't be afraid to praise Him every day. As it says there in Psalm 107. By the way, that phrase repeats in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. In other words, if men would just do it, I just wish men would do it more. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. We need to be praising the Lord every day for His goodness. Because God is good. So, people often ask the question, if God is so good, then why are there so many problems in the world? And why do we have wars? And why do we have people dying young? Especially the world, they ask this question all the time, do they not? If He's a good God, then why this? If you've witnessed to people, you've probably heard this phrase from the unsaved. Even sometimes from Christians. If God is so good, then why this? So what's the answer? Errol? So a lot of what we're dealing with is we're sinners, right? And we live in a sinful world that's run by the god of this world. So we reap what we sow, but we don't. You know, because man does bad things to man, are we to blame God for that? No. Okay, what else? How else do we explain it, Jackie? Exactly. We have a free will, Rachel. Yep. Yep. So we do reap what we sow. The Bible makes that very clear. And that is part of God's love. Remember, when we looked at His love, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So chastisement's love too. But we're talking about His goodness now. People often do it on a global scale, do they not? Say, look at the world, it's such a mess, so many people suffering. Why would a good God allow people to suffer? What do we say? Why would a good God allow people to suffer? Do we know the answer? We should. Because we believe our God is good.
I think part of the reason could be unconditional love. You can't have unconditional love if you don't have a choice. Love. So if we were just puppets on a string, and if we were only rewarded all the time for doing good, and then punished for doing evil, then we'd only be good because we wouldn't be rewarded. So that's not unconditional. That's, even though He deals with us conditionally, He wants unconditional love, which that's why we've got free will.
God did give us a free will, and He takes pleasure in when we worship Him and do good, because we want to please Him. Exactly. But beyond that, when we're talking on a global scale, Jackie?
Well, sometimes, well, it's His goodness that allows suffering because it's for our good.
I was waiting for that one. So when God allows a trial in our lives, is that because He's being mean to us? Or because He knows that's what's good for us? Now, we already know the answer, don't we? There's enough scriptures to teach us that trials are good for us, and God knows about them, and God even allows them in our lives to refine us, to grow us. So His goodness didn't go away. But even on a global scale, we don't understand how God looks at the world because it's too big for us, right? But it's nothing for God to have all that figured out. But to question His goodness is a sin. That's wrong. Because He's good. The Bible makes that very clear. God is always good. He's never mean. He's never intentionally cruel to people. He's always good. So when we look at the suffering of the world, all we can say is God is always good and God will always do what's right, not only on a personal level, but on a global level. And he knows what he's doing. But we can't question his goodness. That is wrong. Matter of fact, we should be praising God for his goodness. Tanya?
I think it's interesting when you study within history, God's goodness shines brighter in the ugliest of times.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a way for God also to show how great he is compared to how awful the devil is. So you can see the comparison between how bad the devil is and how great God is and how good he is in comparison. It is a way for him to show how wonderful.
Amen. When we get to heaven, are we going to question God's goodness? When we get to spend forever with the Lord in heaven? Of course not. So let's not question it down here, because it's wrong to question it. And as we read, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Praise God for his goodness every day, because he's good. Any other thoughts or questions? Next week, we'll look at God's long suffering.